sustained too swift. Summer came as his prize, although not really a pleasant one, and it hasn't been long since the first swallow arrived from the south. One hardly ever uses one's sweater, it seems. When winter finishes, summer takes a swift step, as if it couldn't wait its turn. You can hear people swear on buses and in the streets as they drip with sweat. The number of people on the beach swells to twice the usual, and you can see people soak in the swells of the sea. One keeps sweating, even if staying still. Trees are swaying in the hot breeze, and in the hot sun, you feel almost comforted by that sway, though it doesn't make any difference. Most people start to sweat by the weathermen and won't plan anything until they've found out what the weather should be like. But I refuse to swallow things like that. I'm simply swearing off a lot of outdoor activities, as I can't sustain myself in the heat. I hope that next time a new president is sworn in, he'll make a promise to do something about the weather, too.
Swing to systematic. Tom is a bad boy. He has no sympathy whatsoever for others' troubles. Yesterday, when other kids were swinging on the swing, he stole close and cut the rope with a sword. A sympathetic teacher went over and scolded him, but he switched off as she talked with him, with a synthetic smile on his face, and the minute the teacher turned her back, he seemed to switch on again. Most teachers think that Tom should be kicked out of school, but the headmaster doesn't agree. He thinks Tom has learning difficulties, as well as symptoms of being hyperactive, and he sympathizes with Tom because he had similar problems when he was a little boy. The headmaster believes that with systematic help and training, things will switch. So he introduces a new system of teaching. Although other teachers don't approve of this switch and regard it as a symbol of radical change, it is now in full swing, and Tom is slowly responding.
Tackle to tedious. A friend of mine has a talent for fishing, so when I heard he was entering a fishing competition, I decided to tag along too, to be part of the action. It was held at a large swimming pool containing many fish, some of which had tags with winning points marked on them. I bought some new fishing tackle made with the latest technology, and although I usually find fishing tedious because I never seem to catch any, I decided to tax my patience and tackle this challenge in the hope that I would win a prize that would be tax-free. After half an hour, my friend had caught 3 fish, but I hadn't caught any. Then I saw a large fish near the edge of the pool and decided to target it to be my prize. My friend said it must either be tame or sick to be moving so slowly, and in that case, it didn't have anything attached to it for points. I could see he was right. But I wanted to catch at least 1 fish, so I scooped up my target with a net. It looked so healthy that I had a technician make a special tank so I could tame it at home. Now I can catch a fish whenever I please, but I always use my hands.
Teenager to tension. Every parent was once a child and a teenager, but parents tend to forget. And young people often resist the temptation to think that their parents might have once been like them, having to face growing up in a world where one has a tendency to lose one's temper occasionally because nobody really understands what it is like to be them. This might help explain the tension that arose one day when young John had his 13th birthday and concluded he had passed the temporary stage of childhood and was now almost fully grown up. As a tender expression of their pride in John, the parents gave him a telescope for his birthday because they hoped he would become a famous scientist one day. They liked to plan for John using the future tense. But John had different ideas. He said he wanted to be a philosopher, and that the best present would be a trip to the temple to speak to the wise men. The parents told John he would have to watch his temper, and temper his behavior to become less tense if he wanted to become a philosopher. John said, with muscles tensed in his face, that he might tender his resignation from the family if things did not improve, and call for tenders to take him in.
Terminal to thoughtful. Almost everybody has difficulty at exam time, but Sandra had been thorough and wasn't taking any chances. She thirsted for knowledge and had read the textbook carefully. On every theme in each chapter and every theoretical possibility for questions, she had even visited a psychologist for confidence therapy, thereby reducing the risk that she would be struck by terror when she sat at the computer terminal to answer the exam paper. Sandra also used a thermometer every day to check her temperature and satisfied every thirst with only fresh water. She visited her doctor to make sure she didn't have a terminal illness. She therefore had such a thoughtful approach to her exam that in theory, at least, there was nothing further she could do, no further territory she could cover. So on the day of the exam, Sandra dressed in silk, the textile that made her feel happy, caught the bus with confidence, but the bus broke down outside a textile factory, and poor Sandra missed the exam.
Threat to tissue. The fishing village on the east side of the island was able to thrive, even though the weather was usually cold and stormy. This was said to be due to their approach, to their work, and the support of the community. The timber in the boats was always painted, and their fishing gear was always clean and tidy. Even those who were usually all sums and practical things were able to use their fishing gear with ease. However, it was particularly due to the fishermen's wives that they were so successful. Early each morning, as the tide was right, even when the threat of storm could be heard by thunder, and the men wanted to stay in their warm beds, the wives would thunder at them and threaten to thrust them out of the house without breakfast if they didn't get up. The wives would then ensure the men had special medicine to protect their throats, and hot soup to tide them over until they returned. When the men were ready to leave for work, the wives would tidy away the breakfast plates, tidy their hair, and wave to their men as they used a tissue to wipe away the occasional tear. Then, as the thrust of each engine sent the boats out of the harbor, the men would turn to the shore and raise their thumbs to indicate that all was well. They knew this was a signal the wives waited for before they went back to bed for a sleep, or perhaps just to thumb through a magazine.
Title to Trace. The long-distance runner lined up for his last overnight cross-country marathon for the title of King of the Mountain. It had been a tough preparation for the torture, but he wanted to tolerate the pain just once more before he turned 40 the following day. After 2 hours, he still ran without a trace of pain and began thinking of how good it would feel to toast his success after the event. Suddenly, he kicked his toe against a rock and realized that he might have lost his way. At that point, he feared he might have to tone down his expectations. However, his coach had always made him toe the line in his training, so he remained confident about his chances, particularly as he was still in the lead, and he quickly traced his way up the mountain again. As the mountain became steeper and moonlight became blocked by trees, he tried to talk to himself in a low tone. His legs were a bit weak, but he didn't want to stop to tone them up. For the next couple of hours, he guided himself by the light of his torch. At midnight, he reached the top of the mountain and decided to rest briefly while having a toast from his drink bottle to celebrate both his arrival and the arrival of his birthday. From then on, he knew his body had enough tolerance for the pain, and it was all downhill, as they say. He waved proudly as he crossed the finish line first and was handed a towel.
Tractor to Transportation. It had been an annual tradition of the farming community to hold a festival for their drought horses. But as each farmer replaced his workhorses with a tractor, or mechanical horses as they were called, the practice had died away. Some thought it was a tragedy, particularly the old men who liked to trail behind their horses as they created a trail in the soil with their plow. Occasionally, an old retired farmer could be seen trailing along behind a mechanical horse, trying to relive the experience of his working days as he tried to talk to this replacement for his horse. But eventually, his voice would trail off to a whisper as he realized he could not transform this mechanical horse into a real one. Although the transfer to mechanical horses had been relatively quick, it took a lot longer to transfer all of the real horses to other duties. and this did not usually occur until the horses were too old to work. Once this occurred, the horses might be used as transportation by the old men, so they wouldn't get tired walking around their farm. The community decided to review the annual festival for both real and mechanical horses by having an annual contest between them. 20 horses to 1 mechanical horse. The old men were happy because it was found that 20 horses could transport heavier loads, transmit more power than the transmission of a mechanical horse, and could also provide more comfortable transport. It was then transparent to all that the change to mechanical farming should not mean the end of the annual festival. The old men even began dreaming of advertising the festival through translation into many languages.
Trap to trend. A butcher thought he should make a new type of sausage in order to reverse the trend of his sales, which had become so few that he felt a tremble every time he looked at the tremendous number of bills he had to pay. He didn't want to make anything by trial and error, so he opted to conduct a trial using his best customers to advise him. But, of course, this failed, because the customers' preferences ranged from a request for a sausage in the shape of a triangle so an egg could be fried in the middle, through to a sausage that would tremble when touched, so it would seem to be alive. So the butcher decided that instead of sausages, he would trim his bets by selling a tray of rabbits each day. Every night, he went out of town to trap rabbits by setting traps covered with trash. This worked so well that he no longer needed expensive treatment from his doctor, or to trash the bills he couldn't pay so he could try to forget them. He was even able to make a treaty with everyone he owed money to, although he now needed a different trim for his clothes, because he put on so much weight through not worrying that he could no longer be described as trim.
Triumph to Tune. Chester's triumph lay not in the fact that he was a good musician, or even that he could sing, although he could truly do both of these well. Chester's success was due to the fact that he knew what people wanted from a jazz musician, and they tuned to the local radio station to hear him. In addition, whenever he performed, people would troop into his tropical cafe to feel in tune with life at the end of a busy working day, and didn't seem to mind that Chester occasionally played out of tune with the rest of his band, or that his drinks were expensive, often to the tune of double his nearby competitors. Perhaps it was because Chester always seemed to have a new tune to offer them, and that he never seemed to mind the troublesome guitar player who sometimes took a long time to tune his instrument. At such times, Chester would sit on a trunk on the stage, tell jokes to his audience, and triumph that he didn't have to play with knobs and tubes on his instrument or wear fancy trousers to be noticed. A troop of customers would often then move around the floor, playing imaginary trumpets. Oh, I almost forgot to mention that Chester could trumpet jazz better than anybody.
Tunnel to Typist. Mabel and Dave lived next door to each other and were in love. However, Mabel's parents forbade her to see him because he was only a tutor at the local college, while she was the head typist at a university. But they were typical lovers and wanted to be together, so Dave planned to tunnel his way from his house to hers. When this task was completed, Dave installed a turbine to provide fresh air in the tunnel, and rang Mabel to tutor her on how to locate the entrance near the back of her house. To encourage Mabel to meet him at the twist, where his digging had to change direction because of the roots of a tree, Dave said he had purchased a new typewriter for her to use in the room he had constructed near these roots. Mabel was so impressed by Dave's eagerness to be with her that she immediately arranged some clothes in her bed to make it look as though she was asleep, and managed to twist her way through the small hole to meet him. This arrangement is possibly still going on, because when they want to meet in their special room, Dave rings Mabel and says, "Is your twin sister ready to go to sleep?" Or Mabel rings Dave and says, "My twin has just gone to sleep. Let's meet."
Ultimate to Undo. The life of Big Brother Bill seemed to be the ultimate to Little Brother Len. Bill was an undergraduate who traveled on the underground every day. He told Len that he had signed up to undertake a course in philosophy as part of his degree, in order to develop a better understanding of ways to consider such difficult questions as, to see underneath a vegetable growing underground, do you have to be underground yourself to see the underneath? Len thought Bill had all the answers, even to the questions he hadn't yet thought to ask. However, Len soon discovered that underneath the apparent umbrella of leisure and idleness at university, a student was supposed to undergo exams and expected to uncover more than just the ultimate truth to the meaning of life. So Len decided he would never underline the word university in any set of options he might be offered, because it could be too difficult to undo the damage it might cause to his development as an independent thinker. Bill just gave him an understanding smile and settled back down to sleep.
Undoubtedly too upset. Mac, the long-distance truck driver, undoubtedly liked his job, but an unexpected event occurred last week that left him with the uneasy feeling of being unemployed, and that nobody in the whole universe would be likely to let him drive a truck again. Mac was driving along a deserted stretch of road during the heat of the day when he noticed something on the road ahead, quite unlike anything he had ever seen before. Thinking it was just the unusual heat playing tricks with his eyesight, Mac kept driving. Suddenly he realized that this unique sight might be real, so he quickly sat upright as he slammed on the brakes. Unfortunately, this caused the load on the truck to shift, and the truck turned over. He was upset as he climbed out, wondering how he would be able to avoid further upset, unload a truck full of ice cream in the heat, and cool himself down until help arrived. Without really wanting to upset anybody, particularly upper management, Mac decided there was only one thing he could do. He hoped there was enough unity among the Universal Brotherhood of Truck Drivers and their union to support a normally well-behaved and upright citizen like himself in what he was about to do.
Up to date to utter. In a large urban center, you may be tempted to utilize or even utilize the services of someone like Ralph, the real estate agent. He has the most up-to-date knowledge of what is available, and will do his utmost to ensure that you achieve utmost satisfaction. He gives you the utmost of service. If you ring him with an urgent need, he will urge you to develop the urge to visit his office rather than go to some other agent whom he might describe as a useless user of time and money, who is likely to utter encouraging noises, but who will be unable to give you utter satisfaction. But beware, Ralph has a usage of words that might annoy or even offend, so his utility has to be considered cautiously.
Vacancy venture. Ian came out of the office and looked around. He had a vague feeling that something wasn't right. He couldn't find out what the problem was, but he was sure there were variations in something somewhere. He stood there and thought hard, and finally, as if struck by lightning, he suddenly realized that the space where his van had been parked was now vacant. He searched for it in vain. It seemed to have vanished, like vapor in the sun. Ian wasn't a vain person and didn't want to venture his money on something fancy or loud, so he had an ordinary second-hand vehicle. He didn't even vacuum his seats with a vacuum cleaner, and they were often covered with dust. However, it seemed that robbers varied and had variable tastes. The one who stole Ian's car was a case in point. Ian felt that because of these experiences, he no longer had a valid approach to getting reliable transport, and that any purchase was going to be some sort of risky venture, because there are variables that might not be able to be predicted.
Verb 2, viewpoint. Being punctual can be a vice. The view might sound strange to some people, but my viewpoint is that in most cases people are punctual just because it's easier or more convenient for them. They keep time with a view to avoiding possible trouble. Most people prefer to be victims of unpunctual behavior in view of the negative attitudes others have towards such behavior. Let's view it this way. If one is late one normally needs to give reasons or excuses. Although it's unlikely that one's version will be verified, one has to at least make sure his or her voice doesn't vibrate. Otherwise, one will be letting slip information that one doesn't intend to, via one's tone or choice of words, such as verbs, or using even tenses. I'm not a veteran in this regard, so I'm still perfecting my skills by watching videotapes. There are dialogues videoed to show people how to make excuses and apologies for being late. Suggestions like having one's blood vessels around the neck covered, or avoiding body language like vertical movements in the eyes, are also included. So whenever I've got time, I insert a tape into a video to develop greater skill.
Vigorous to visual. I don't really think I'm a vigorous person. I don't like violent sports like soccer, and I don't even watch much TV, as there is always too much violence on. I virtually only listen to music in my leisure time, especially violin music. By virtue of music, I can forget my surroundings and unpleasant things, and absorb myself in my musical visions. To me, music is visible and more colorful than visual things. It can be blue, like the sea, or it can be violet, as a violet. I can be in virtual heaven anywhere, as long as I've got music, but my peace and quiet is sometimes violated by outside noises, because people just don't know that keeping quiet is a virtue. They always talk too loudly, and ignore the fact that silence, to my sanity, is like vinegar to salad, and that noise can be as harmful to me as any virus.
Vital to vote. Some volunteers arrived at a remote village located near an active volcano. They came here to help the village children. They brought with them volumes of textbooks and some medicine, as the villagers' diet lacked a vital vitamin in it. They taught the kids how to play volleyball, and also tried to learn the basic vocabularies of the local language, so they could communicate with the kids better. As a result of their efforts, an international voluntary organization offered to provide funds to turn on the electricity to the village. When steady voltage was transmitted to every house, the villagers stared at the 60-volt bulbs and called them little sun. They conducted a vote in which every villager voted to select some lucky residents to volunteer to return home with the visitors to see the vivid nighttime sights of the capital city.
Wage to weed. A beautiful young woman went to a wealthy family and asked for a job. The husband greeted her with warmth. He asked the young woman if she could help him get rid of the weeds in the garden. Yes, her voice weakened. The husband wandered nearby and enjoyed watching her weeding the garden with a tight shirt hung above her waist. Afterwards, he paid her a wage of $50 and told her to come and wax his car the next day. The young woman arrived in a wagon, and the noise wakened the wife. She opened the door, holding a baseball bat as a weapon, and looked at the young woman in waterproof overalls with suspicion. The conversation between the two women waged for half an hour, and the wife thought that what the young woman had said was another story her husband had woven. When the husband came home, he found his car was covered with wax, and his wife was working on it.
Weekday to whereas. Wally the Whale is a weekly Wednesday attraction at the zoo, when he performs his wonderful walk across the water for all to watch. It's so wearing on Wally that if he performed every weekday, his health would be threatened, and he'd have to retire on welfare. Crowds would weep if they couldn't watch Wally walking his walk. His trainer believes Wally is the last of such walkers to be able to perform weekly. Others have tried, and a few have achieved one or two walks in their lifetime, but most cannot walk whatsoever, whereas Wally welcomes the opportunity and even throws in a few sways of his tail to weld himself closer to his audience. The only problem is that his trainer has to replace the weld in the machinery under the water after each performance, because Wally has so much weight, and this has to be done secretly so the local weekly doesn't make a scandal of it.
Whichever to wit. The widow's dog died, and as she needed it to help her herd the sheep, she was looking for a replacement. The rumor that she was a wicked woman was widespread in the area, and it was said that she whipped her dog using a whip with the width of 2 inches. Consequently, she had such difficulty getting anybody to sell her a dog that she put up a notice in the town square saying, "I need a person to help me with my sheep, and I'll accept whoever is prepared to do so. Alternatively, whichever of you comes to me first with the offer of a dog may choose one of my sheep as payment. Whichever result occurs, I shall be satisfied." But nobody understood the second part of her message, so nobody helped her out. Finally, when a little boy said he would be her dog, people's eyes widened in surprise. The woman did treat the boy wholly like a dog. Instead of talking to him, she'd whistle a whistle to tell him which direction to go and what to do.
Wisdom too worthwhile. Wolves couldn't withstand prejudice any longer. For hundreds of thousands of years, they had witnessed kids worldwide being told that they were wicked animals. They envied animals like lions and tigers, who were worshipped as symbols of power and strength. Even worms had a better life than they did. At least kids wouldn't get scared and withdraw from these worthless creatures. They wanted to do something worthy, to prove to people that they were worthwhile loving. After a workshop with sheep, they offered their hair to people. But their hair was not wool, and workmen couldn't weave it. They were at their wit's end, so they went to see the fox, who was thought to have more wisdom. The fox did have a quick wit, and solved their problem. He told them that if they stopped eating rabbits, the rabbits would breed very quickly. When there were a lot of rabbits, they'd start to damage crops in the field. At that time, you can help the farmers by eating up all those rabbits. Any witness to such usefulness would expect worship rather than condemnation, the fox concluded.
Worthy to writing. Fritz is a writer, but his writings are not as good as the stories he tells at the dinner table. Yesterday, he told us another story. It was about a couple from Scotland. The husband was a miser, and he never trusted his money to anyone, including his wife. The wife had a rich uncle who lived in America, and when he died, he left everything to his niece. So the couple went to America to collect the money. On their way home, however, the ship was wrecked. The wife, who was carrying all the gold wrapped in her rags around her body, couldn't swim and was sinking with the wreck. The husband was a good swimmer and could probably have made it to the shore safely, but he held his wife's wrist and wouldn't let go. Fellow passengers tried to convince the worthy gentleman that there was no way that he could save his wife and the gold, so he should loosen his grasp. "Never. She'll spend all our money in heaven if I don't keep an eye on her," the husband replied.
X-ray to zone. Well, we've reached the end of the band 4 alphabet, so this must be the final story for now. Or to put it another way, the yield of stories must stop at present because we run out of the words from which to yield these stories. However, if you could have an X-ray of our minds, you might find more stories developing to include band 6 words. But for now, I can feel a yawn coming on, so it's time to enter the dream zone as I yawn myself to sleep and bid you farewell. It's not that I really want to stop. It's because year by year, I increasingly notice that I'm not the youngster I used to be and need a certain amount of sleep if I am to yearly produce enough books for a yearly income.